Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. Last time we considered that men began to multiply on the earth. And the scripture says that the sons of God, now these were from the lineage of Seth. Seth was Adam and Eve's boy, and they were from that line, and at least in name, at least in the name of Seth, from that lineage, being the sons of God, they were those who claimed to worship the Lord. And they saw the daughters of men. Now there was only two lines. It was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had children. And from them, that's where the earth was populated. And these daughters of men were from the lineage of Cain. A cursed lineage. And the scripture says that these sons of God took of these daughters of men, they saw the daughters of men, and took them of all which they chose. Now, when they did that, you know from last time, they began to intermingle, and they began to pick up the habits of their false worship. And the Lord said that His Spirit was not going to strive with man, for he was flesh. He was only flesh. That's all he was flesh. And he told a man named Noah that 120 years was going to be the length of time. From that time that he expressed His will, and it's going to be 120 years. That's what's going to be left. And Methuselah, whose age actually spoke of and set forth the year in which the Lord would send the flood, it was that time, that long suffering of God. Well, the earth was in a state of chaos. There were tyrants, the scripture says, that were in the earth. There were bullies and giants. And whether these giants were giants in religion, whether it was political, whether it was social, whatever it was, they exalted themselves above men without restraints. And these children that were born between the sons of God and the daughters of men were mighty men of renown, the scripture says. And they had fame and reputation, and they were regarded by the world with respect. But this is what God saw. And it doesn't matter what men thought or what men saw. The scriptures declare that God Almighty saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, whether it was religious, whether it was political, whatever, it doesn't matter. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. There were no good thoughts. And the scripture declares that Almighty God, it says, it repented the Lord that He made man and grieved Him at His heart. Now, God does not change. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. He changes not. That's the reason that we sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's because God will be gracious to whom He'll be gracious. But it repented the Lord without changing His purpose, His will, or His counsel. it repented the Lord. And what he was actually saying is he's going to deal with men in a different way. God never changed his purpose. Almighty God never changed anything except he's going to deal with men in a way that men's not used to being dealt with. But the scriptures declare that when God Almighty declared that he was going to destroy man, beast, creeping thing, the fowls of the air, but Noah, a man that was a sinner, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was going to wipe everyone and everything off of the face of the earth except for one man and his wife and his three sons and their wives and some animals. But it was for Noah's sake. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, tonight I want to deal with one verse of Scripture, and I want to deal with this man, Noah, and his character. Before we get into next week, Lord willing, we'll get into this ark and God's instructions concerning this ark. But I want to deal with this one man. Now just imagine now, the whole earth is filled with violence. And I'm going to deal with what it meant when it said it was filled with violence next week, because it's more than what we think. But Almighty God saw that the whole earth was corrupt, and it was filled with violence. But this one man, the scripture says, Noah, who found grace, verse 8, in the eyes of the Lord, and these, verse 9, are the generations of Noah. This is the history of the man whose name means rest. That's what his name meant. The man who is God's chosen means to be a type of the beloved Son of God, who is the source and the giver of rest to the sheep. Noah was a picture. Now, Noah's going to be a picture. I'm going to tell you this, but Noah's going to be a picture of every believer, and he's going to be a picture especially of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Noah's name means rest, and that is setting forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Rest from laboring to be justified before God. Rest from laboring to establish a righteousness before God. A rest. Now the scripture declares this. Noah was a just man. Noah was a man who was declared of God to be justified before God. When he says a just man, he was a man that was justified. Now this characteristic of Noah and every believer now, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this characteristic is a truth that I'd like for us to just deal with for just a few minutes. We always talk about justified, being justified. Justification, being just. This man was just. Now, I want us to just stop for a minute and consider again exactly what that means, because this is very, very important that we understand our standing before God. Now, this justification now, I'm going to deal with him being perfect in a minute. That's a different word. But this man, Noah, was a just man. And that word has to do totally with his standing before God. The scripture says in Romans 8, 29 to 30, it says, "For whom he," that is the Father, "did foreknow." That means foreordained or appointed. "For whom he did foreordain," or appoint. He did also predestinate. He predetermined to be conformed to the image of His Son, being found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that He foreknew, all that He foreordained, all He knew in grace, all that He ordained to be His sons, He ordained to be conformed to the image of His Son, that is, to be like Him. Now listen, God Almighty ordained beforehand those that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. 1 John 3:2. I just want to just turn to this. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There are scriptures that the more I would try to explain what this is, the more I would tarnish it. The scripture says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So, Neil, that pretty well settles it. We don't know, Pat, what we're going to be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for or because we shall see Him like He is. Now, the scripture says, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, that is, to be the first to rise as the head of His people from the dead, to die no more, the first fruits of His people. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, effectually bid, called them by name. I know my sheep, I call them by name. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. That is, declared to be acquitted from all guilt in God's sight. Justified. Declared to be right, and acquitted of all guilt. Justified. No guilt. No infraction. No thoughts. No evil. No nothing. Justified before God, before God's law. Now, that state of being justified, Noah was a just man. Noah was justified by the grace of God. Noah believed God. As we get into this, we'll see. And Noah believed God. He believed God's Christ. He believed Christ. God's Christ was coming. He believed this. Noah knew what that ark was. Noah knew that was a picture of the Messiah. He knew that. He knew God. Now this state of being justified before God is a state that has a foundation. How is this? How can this be? Well, I can tell you this, it's not accomplished or it's not founded upon anything that a man can do. I can tell you that for a fact. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law tells me what I am, and what I can't do. He tells me what God demands, but I can't do it. I know I can't do it. So justification is that state that is totally apart from anything that I could do. God's sheep are in God's sight. The scripture says in Romans 3:24, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The people of God are justified, which is the exact opposite of being condemned or being guilty before God. They possess the righteousness of Christ. So their standing before God is a standing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ of absolute obedience. As Christ obeyed the Father. As Christ obeyed, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with Him. The Lord said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. In Christ, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. My meat is to do His will. That's what I desire. In Christ, no infraction. No one could accuse Him or find fault in Him. He was perfect in His work. Almighty God chose us in Christ and redeemed us by blood and called us according to His good pleasure and gave us a new nature, a new man that sinneth not. That which is born of God, born from above, does not sin. And that blessing of being justified before God, He paid our debt. We have no chargeable guilt. I said before, I know the presence of sin is with us, paid for. Because He paid for it, God pardons us. He forgives us. That sin's paid for. And though we still have that old man in us, there is a new man. That old man is going to be put off. He's going to be separate. Who shall separate me from the body of this death? God will. There's an old man still there. But I'm telling you, there is a new man there, and that new man is just, is justified. And Almighty God looks upon that which He has created from above and finds no fault whatsoever. No fault, no infraction, not even a little bit with the law. The Lord Jesus Christ, our justifier, pleased God as our federal head. He obeyed the law, bore our sins. We were buried with Him. We rose with Him. He's ascended into heaven. We're seated with Him in heavenly places, the right hand of God. I cannot understand this. I cannot understand it. But I'm telling you, things are as God says they are, not as I think they are, or as I can try to figure them to be. Noah in himself was no different than any other man, but by grace, through faith, he believed God, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the one who truly is, but perfect, holy, just. Noah was justified in Christ, therefore accepted by the Father. But Noah was also, that's a standing before God. That's a standing that I can't see and you can't see. I can't see justification. I can't see being justified. I can see in me there dwells no good thing. I see that. But I cannot see that new man. I believe God. But oh, how I pray God help my unbelief. But things are as the Lord says they are. But Noah was also said to be perfect in his generation. Now, that state right there, that state of being perfect, he was a moral man. Now, in the midst of all that was going on around him, the earth was filled. The scripture back in chapter 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah held all of those propensities. Noah was a sinner. But here was a man that was upright. He had some integrity about him. Some virtue. He was honest. He was straight in his generation. Not that any of those characteristics would have justified him before God. Nothing that we could do, that couldn't have justified him before God, because justification would have been by works then. Well, he's just a good man. He's an honest man. Take what he says to the bank. That doesn't matter. He's a sinner. He's born in Adam and he's a sinner. But this man was one like Job. He was an upright, just, if you considered my servant Job. He eschews evil. This man Noah before men, first state of justification before God. This one right here was before men. He had some integrity. He was a man that had a good conduct about him, and he conducted himself with some honor. And the scripture says, thirdly, that Noah walked with God. Now, that's a state that we considered when we looked at Enoch. But I want us to look again at this state. This state of walking with God is obviously a state that men do or can experience. A believer. They walk with God. Every believer walks with God. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ walks with God. Now, walking with God refers to it's an attitude, it's a behavior in a believer that is reflective of a work of God's Spirit upon that man. Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So a believer is one that does walk in the newness of life. He walks with God. Now, believers are right now, they're dead to the old life as it having dominion over them. They're dead to that old sin shall not have dominion. It doesn't rule. But we're new creatures in Christ, and we walk, or we have our conversation in this world, possessing a new heart with some new principles and a new life. We don't walk. We don't have our manner of walk. Are we sinners? Yes. Absolutely. If we say we have no sin, we got a liar. You know that we have sin, but what are we doing as this walk with God? Philippians 3. This walk in the newness of life. Philippians 3. We've read this so many times, but that's good. Let's read it again. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 11. Now here is Paul the Apostle, and he's going to express a new walk. You know, we should walk in newness of life. Now here, the Apostle Paul is going to say something about walking in the newness of life. Philippians 3, 8 to 11. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, everything that I formerly trusted in, my ability to keep the law that I thought I'd, I never had one infraction, I was blameless before, as far as keeping the law, and I was born, I was a Pharisee, and I was this, on and on, Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he said, I counted all that but loss. Now here's a new attitude. He's got a new spirit about him. And he says, in verse 9, and be found in him. I want to be found in him. Now every believer relates to that. Ask any believer, do you have a desire to be found in Christ? An unbeliever, you ask an unbeliever that and they'll say yes, but they don't even understand what you're talking about. No, here's what I want. Chuck, I want to know that Christ has forever stood as my surety. To be found in him, how would I get there? God had to put me there, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. If Almighty God has chosen me and put me in Christ, as Brother Scott says, where God puts a man, that's where he keeps a man. Paul says, here's my desire. I want to be found in him. When I stand before God, I don't even want to imagine or think of what it would be to not be found in Christ. What do you think about all these as we look at these few chapters in Genesis? How about all those that were found outside the ark? What do you think happened to them? The only ones that survived were those that were in the ark. Everybody else, what did God say? They're going to perish. So Paul says, this is my walk. This is my desire of my walk. To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to stand before God in the best I could do, because I've never done anything good. And I know that now. I didn't know that before, but I know it now. To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I want to know that his faithfulness is imputed to me, and that his faithfulness is my standing before God, accepted in him, that I may know him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. A believer knows something. He knows God. Abraham believed God because he knew God. Who is God? Well, he's not this little G God that I thought that wanted to do this. The God that I worship is God. He's God in heaven. He's God in earth. He's God in creation and providence and salvation. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. When God raised him out of the ground, what did that mean? God accepted him. And if he accepted him and I'm in him, then he accepted me. And if he came out of the ground and I was found in him, then I died with him, and then my sins are put away. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west. Paul said, this is what I want. This is the way I walk. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want what he suffered, that he suffered for me. When he died, he died for me. I want that. I want him. That when he died, he had me on his heart. That he was bearing me up on his shoulders, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Noah walked with God. He walked in a way that was consistent with God Almighty having mercy and compassion to him. Believers walk with God when they walk not after the flesh. That's what Romans 8:1 says. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. What does that mean? Well, according to the dictates of the flesh, the dictates of the carnal mind, what I think is right, what I think I've done, that's the flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. It's those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, after the directing, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Whoever speaks of Christ and directs God's people to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, as I said, we're not free from sin. It's found in us. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing, and the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But we walk as sinners, saved by the grace of God, walking ever mindful of our need of Him. This is how a believer walks. They walk in dependence. They walk in dependence upon God. Lord, save me. Save me today. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I trust you now. Lord, I call on you now. As I've said, they don't look back. They don't look back to yesterday. Yesterday's gone. I need salvation right now. I need the Lord to save me right now. Right now. So they walk continually coming to Him. And they walk not after the flesh. I say guarded, you know, by those carnal fleshly appetites and interests. But they walk with God walking by faith. They walk not by sight, but by faith. I believe that my God is going to supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They walk by faith. What does that mean? That means faith is the substance, it's the ground or the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I hope or find my confidence to be in Christ, then I am resting in the fact that all that is needed for me, what do I need to stand righteous before God? I don't know. I know perfection. I know holiness. But even when I say it, I can't enter into the depth of it. I don't know. But every jot and tittle of the law was satisfied. That law has got to be honored. That law has got to be satisfied. God's going to have to be appeased. I mean, whatever I need, I believe Him. I believe Him. Whatever it takes, I believe He did it. I believe when a father said, "Well done. This is my beloved son. Well pleased." You know what I believe? I believe He was well pleased. I want to be found in Him. So we walk by what God declares our life to be. A new creation, justified before God, accepted in the Beloved. Somebody says, "Do you truly believe that you're accepted of God?" I'm going to tell you, I've only got one hope. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust Him. That's all I've got. That's all I need. That's all I've got. So this walk, it's a blessed privilege. It's granted to unworthy sinners. And it's based totally upon the good pleasure and will of Almighty God to show mercy and compassion. Walking with God, it never begins with me. It is absolutely established and motivated by God Almighty. Ezekiel 36:27. "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, my demands, my laws, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." I think about the commandment of God. What's the commandment of God? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt trust in my Son. Lord, help me. Lord, I believe you." The Lord undertakes for His people when He says that He will do all of His good pleasure. They keep His instructions. They believe Him. And they don't leave. That's another thing. How do you walk? Well, you keep walking. You don't leave. When a man walks with God, he walks in agreement with God. He agrees with God about himself. He agrees with God about God. And he doesn't leave. He doesn't go away from walking. Because he's kept by the power of God. I cannot tell you how many times have I felt in just moments of, I'm just tired. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm just tired. How many times am I tempted? And I think, Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, keep me. You promised that, Lord, I'd be kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in that last day. So God's people, they walk with the Lord. They walk by faith. They walk in newness of life. They walk in agreement with God. And they realize that their walk is nothing short than a miracle of God's grace. He put them in Christ. He sent the gospel to teach them. And by Spirit, He regenerated them. And He gave them faith to believe and robed them in the righteousness of His Son. And He keeps them by His grace. And they walk with Him in communion. You want to hear. You didn't come tonight just because, well, it's Wednesday. I guess I got to show up. You know, no, I want to hear something. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the Lord has to say concerning Himself. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." He said, walk as children of light. I know you're struggling. I know you are. I know you are. We've got problems. We've got things that... But this is our lot. This is the lot. And the Lord has placed us exactly where we are. And you think, but for the grace of God, I'd be somewhere else right now. Doing something else. Other than what I'm doing, other than what I'm thinking, but for the grace of God, that's what I'd be. And there would be a day coming when I'd stand before God and I'd have no answer. No answer. I'm so thankful that I'm right here. He's given me a heart to be here, to walk after Him, to hear Him. I pray God bless this to our heart for His glory and our good. Amen.